All right, how about if we stand to our feet? You know what? We can never give God enough praise. Never give him enough praise. Raise your hands if you want. After all, we are praising God. So let's give him the highest praise this morning. Hey, if you're here this morning and you feel like you don't have anything to praise the Lord about, wait a minute. I'm here to tell you that you are wrong. So let's give God our highest praise. Praise God. You bring us through the fire of life, the trials, the temptations, and we say thank you this morning and praise your holy name. We do have something to praise God for. God, you are the God of every impossibility in our lives, and we just want to thank you and praise you for who you are, the living, almighty, great God in power, great in majesty. You are our Savior, our Helper, our Redeemer. You are always near to those who call upon your name, and we are so grateful to have you in our lives. The mighty warrior, brave and mighty, always ready for battle in the spirit to those who want to overcome. You cause us to triumph. Thank you, Lord. You had victory over the grave, and we can praise an all-living, all-knowing, all-caring, all-loving God this morning. Receive our praise, O Lord. This morning, as we hear your word, may it penetrate our very souls and spirit, and may our hearts rejoice in knowing that you are the God of impossibilities. We praise you, O Lord, and ask you to accept our worship to you today as our eyes and ears and hearts are open to receive the word of Almighty God. And in Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. 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 Whew, let's get at it. Well, if you picked up a word in the prayer room this morning and you picked up a word I just said, my message this morning is impossibilities in our lives. I don't think so. So before I begin today, in your mind, I want you to answer this question. What are some of the impossibilities as you see them that would have been impossible for Jesus to do? Think of it in your mind. Raise Lazarus from the dead, walk on water, multiply food, heal the lepers. Go to the cross without calling on thousands of angels to assist him. Healings? Deliverance? Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing, absolutely nothing, will be impossible. How are we to overcome those things we think are impossible? See, there will be times in our life when we wonder how we are going to get through. There is for me. How about you? Anybody feeling that way? When we see the state of our country, the corruption, the violence, the lack of justice, and I could go on and on and on. Many things are happening in what we see and what we hear that could cause us to think and speak these words. This is impossible. We are never going to see this all come to an end. Our friends and our freedoms are being destroyed. Let's stop right there. And let's realize that God is in control. He is working on every situation, and we don't have to know everything he is doing to rectify and to cause justice to come to those who ought to destroy our country. May I remind you of the Red Sea when all looked helpless and hopeless. Was it? Was it? No. God had a plan, and their actions were very important. One foot into the water, and might I say just one toe into the water, would have split that water and a highway huge enough to pass through. That's our God, and he hasn't changed. How many of you right now are facing what you think are impossibilities? Let me see your hand. Got the right message today. There are seemingly impossibilities in your personal life, in your job, with your children, in your friendships, in your finances. That's a big one right now, in your finances. But God is a God of possibilities. What about the words you speak, your thoughts? Do you wonder if you will ever think the right thoughts? You may see some things that the world says are impossible. Impossible possibilities exist in this world for a reason. They can come on quickly, can't they? One day, everything is fine, and the next day, oh, my goodness, this is an impossible situation. But they exist so overcomers can overcome.
Yes, amen.
Even those of us who are born again, spirit-filled, filled with the spirit to overflowing possibly, need to press into our faith and what we believe the Lord can do when we see some of these things, when we hear some of these things. What the world says is impossible, God says is possible. We need to believe what the Word of God says. We may have information that looks like our circumstances are way out of control. But when we face challenges, Jesus always shows up. Always, underline, always shows up. Do you think it's humanly possible for you to walk on water? Jesus walked on water when people were doubting. Jesus came as our example. He just didn't do anything just to be doing it. He was an example to us. He did everything he did as an example to you and to me, and he wanted to show us what could be done. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the back of the room. We kind of always carry our Bible. I used to carry this big Bible. And then I thought, oh, no, why don't I just take Roger's and we can look at it together. But if you have Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come, come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was blusterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So let's look at this story. Verse 24 says, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." Sometimes we get tossed back to and fro, and everything in our life seems contrary. Verse 25, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. It was between 3 and 6 a.m. Verse 26 is an important verse. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear." Listen, don't you think after being with Jesus, they would have some knowledge that it was him? And not a ghost? Think of it. They had seen miracle after miracle. Miracle after miracle. So what was the fear all about? I think we have seen our share of fear over the past 2 years. It is sad to see people who we know cry out and act out in fear when they are facing something that seems to be impossible in their lives. See, every week it seems to be that there's a new fear tactic out there, right?
Yeah.
Every week a new fear tactic, so we can get all upset and begin to shake and tremble instead of trusting our God. Verse 27 said, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.'" So in the midst of all our trouble, in the midst of all our impossibilities, Jesus is saying to us, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Sounds just like Jesus telling us these things when we are seeing and face the things that we're seeing and facing. Be of good cheer, be happy. Don't be discouraged or fearful. Jesus said one word to Peter, and he is saying one word to you in your heart today, and that word is come. Come. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How about we substitute the word labor for weary? Oh, my goodness. So who will give us rest? Our own selves? Are trying to figure everything out? No, Jesus said, come, and I will give you rest. So I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. But I get weary a lot here at Laid. Just hearing and seeing people living so negative, so afraid, watching things they shouldn't watch, speaking things they shouldn't speak. Weariness. Weariness comes upon all of us. When you are going through situations in your life, one word from the Lord is all you need. And there is something else you must do. You got to trust him. Yes. We all say we trust him, but then we try to figure things out. Trust is not knowing what tomorrow will bring, but trusting God to take care of it. Trust God to take care of tomorrow. Trust God to take care of every day. In John 6:21, the Bible says, they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. The disciples and Jesus in the boat. Think about that. Jesus in us. So we have all the power. So the disciples and Jesus in the boat, and immediately the boat, shoom, was at the land. Immediately means speedily, directly, suddenly, quickly. Speedily, directly, suddenly, quickly. So when Jesus got in the boat, like a flash of light, went to the other side of the lake, to the shore. The day is coming when we will see Jesus move speedily, directly, and suddenly, because I believe in suddenlies. Amen. What is it that God cannot do? Is your impossibility too large for him? Peter saw Jesus do the impossible, so Peter said, Lord, bid me to come. If it's not you and a ghost, bid me to come. Now what Peter was really saying was, is it really you? Really? Really? Bid me to come. Was Jesus supposed to say, no, it's not me. You can't do this. No, Jesus said, come. Come. With one word that Peter heard. One word from Jesus that everything he learned and everything he thought could not be done as being impossible was shattered in his mind. Think of it. Just one word from Jesus in your life, when you step out, the impossibility is destroyed. Amen? Amen. You can amen anytime. I'm used to a lot of amens in Mexico, but if you don't want to, that's okay. You can just keep sleeping. Peter was doing what the world defined as impossible until he looked at the wind blowing, and just like that, he began to sink. But Jesus did what men said was impossible as an example for us, that impossibilities exist for us. They do exist. You have to understand that impossibilities exist. But God is there for us to make whatever is impossible in our life possible. Let this be a great lesson to us this morning, to not take our eyes off the Lord. Men and women are still limited by impossibilities, by what other people, men and women, by what they do and what they don't do, by what they say and what they don't say. When God says, nothing is impossible for me, you better believe it, because there's not one impossibility coming your way that God is not prepared to walk you through. When you get through, you will say, all things are possible to those who believe. How long will that take? That depends on you. It depends how much you believe that God is with you. Whatever you face, are you asking for something that is not his will? Are you asking God for things but not being obedient to what he wants you to do? Let's look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 18. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. See, he had seizures. He had loss of control. Verse 16, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long should I be with you? How long should I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. See, just because they could not cure him does not mean he could not be cured. A lot of times we determine things to be possible or impossible based on what somebody else does or does not do.
That's right.
Jesus said, faithless and perverse generation. In Jesus' eyes, it's normal for healing to take place.
That's right.
Don't think your situation is impossible.
That's right.
Anytime we can't do something, he wants us to bring it to him. Just because it doesn't happen for us immediately doesn't mean it can't be done.
Right.
You know, we prayed for a lot of people and a lot of people for healing. Did we see everybody get healed immediately? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 months, we saw that same person in a store and they were totally and completely healed. And they said, hey, you remember that day you prayed for me? I really got healed, but I had to walk it out. Sometimes we just have to walk it out.
Amen.
Faith that appears small or weak to us can still accomplish the humanly possible, impossible. This mountain the disciples were facing was an obstacle they didn't know what to do with. Sometimes we face mountains that we really don't know what to do with. You know what? And then we run to other people. We run to the phone. We run to pastor. We run to everybody else but who we should be running to. But the problem was not impossible for God to deal with. And you have to always remember that. The problem is not impossible for God to deal with when you give it to him. He can use committed people who understand their authority in Christ.
That's right.
To know his power.
Amen.
His will. His purposes and provision to accomplish anything. Now, you know, that's an issue, our authority in Christ. A lot of us sometimes, I might get crucified for this, back away from our authority. Oh, I don't think I can do that. I don't think that I have that authority. But the Word says, God says, we have all authority in Christ. People try to deal with trying to figure out why something happens. Did you ever do that? Oh, I bet you every one of us. What can we do? What did we do? What didn't we do? You see, Jesus will deal with the root of a problem. And you have to kill the root or the weed comes back.
That's right.
You have to kill the root or the weed comes back.
That's right.
Did you hear that? You have to kill the root or the weed comes back.
That's right.
Amen.
If we can start talking to Jesus, we don't have to waste our time dealing with every situation that comes into our lives. Jesus wants us to learn this and ask the Anointed One for help. When the disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't cast it out, Jesus said in verse 20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.
That's right, amen.
Why don't you say that while I drink my water? Why don't you say that? I will say to my mountain,
I will say to my mountain,
move from here to there.
And it will move.
And nothing will be impossible for me. Now see, I didn't even drink. Jesus says our faith in God is like a seed. When we put our faith into action, that is when we release our situation to God. then our situation takes on a new nature. The nature of a miracle then is then in the making. I'll repeat that. When we release our situation to God, then our situation takes on a new nature. The nature of a miracle is then in the making. So what is belief? Belief is action. Believing is acting. We can't fully believe till action is behind it. If you were standing back there and I was here and you say, Pastor Nancy, you know, I believe these chairs are going to hold me. You don't believe that until you sit on them. You can say it, but until you act, until you sit on it and see that it will hold you, that's when you believe. Believing is action. You do what you believe. When you don't believe, there is no action. God has a way of getting your need met, your problem solved. It's rooted in your faith in Him to meet your need. It's rooted in your faith in Him to meet the need for all, not some, all your financial needs.
That's right. Amen.
Let's think about it this morning. What is the impossibility in your life right now? Don't speak. What is the impossibility? Think about it. Jesus will show you the way to have that removed from your life. You can't go around loving the Lord, sharing Him with others with a big bag of problems on your back.
That's
right. Big bag of problems. He wants you to be free. You must know this, that you have a measure of faith. In Romans 12:3, it says that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Faith is within you. God also says that this faith comes alive by hearing the word of God. You know, my husband preached a lot in his time. But wherever he went, wherever he preached, and he got on faith, it was Romans 10:17. And every church he was into and every place he preached that he was preaching about faith, the whole congregation knew Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can apply our faith to see our daily needs met. How? You must do something as an act of your faith. So when an impossible situation faces you, put your faith into action and speak to that impossibility. See, you have to put your faith to action. You have to speak to the impossibility. You just can't have an impossible situation and you fall apart and you cry and you moan and you carry on. Oh, it's impossible. This is so impossible. No, no, no. You have to put your faith into action. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our comforter, our guide, and our helper. And He won't do anything before you do. That's a revelation. He has been called to be a helper. Helpers do not act first.
That's right.
They wait till the action begins, and then they aid and assist. You must act first. If you think it's impossible to get a better job, have better relationships, have something happen in your family, whatever it is you're believing for, it won't happen till you put yourself into action. God wants you to do something. You are praying, but are you taking steps in the right direction? To do that something that you need to do. You may say, oh, it's too hard. It's just too hard. You think it's impossible? But God is waiting for you to do something. God is waiting for you to do something. I'll say it again. God is waiting for you to do something. What is it that God has placed on your heart? You have to do something before He does something. You may say, my life is impossible. No, it's not. Everything I see going wrong in this country. No, it's not. My city. No, it's not. My state is impossible. No, it's not. Your relationships are not impossible. Your children are not impossible.
That's right, amen.
Your family is not impossible.
That's right.
Your attitude needs to be a good attitude.
Yes, that's right.
A spirit of faith attitude.
Right.
Remember the children of Israel when they got to the Red Sea? Exodus chapter 14. They said, "Stone Moses! He brought us out here to die." But they forgot that God was with Moses. God's with me. God is with you. And when God is with you, there is no such thing as a Red Sea stopping you from going to the other side. Amen?
Amen.
Your amens are bad today. God overcomes the impossibilities. That is why we have to have a good attitude.
Amen.
Follow the word of God. Do what you're supposed to be doing, but not what somebody else is doing. You know, a lot of people do that. You know, they see somebody else doing something, and they think, oh, man, that's doing really good. Hey, how many of you would want to do, what's your name? Matt. Matt's job. I know your name.
Matthew.
I was just asking.
Matthew.
How would you like to do Matt's job? Well, if you think, oh, well, you know, I think he's doing a good job. I think he's making money. I think he's doing that. Would you like to be out cutting grass how many hours a day? In the hot sun? Without an umbrella? Yeah? God overcomes all impossibilities, and you have to have a good attitude. You have to follow his word. You have to do what you're supposed to be doing, not what somebody else is doing. What is God telling you to do? Many people have insecurities. Oh, my. In the foreign countries, a lot of people have insecurities, especially the women, because of how they're treated. And because of that, they blame others. Others are successful in what they're doing, and we get jealous. Isn't that a fact? There's jealousy. We get jealous. They succeed because they are doing what God told them to do. We need to pray and ask God what he wants us to do. And then stay focused. That's a big thing. You have to stay focused. Because if you feel that God's calling you to do one thing, and then, oh, you see something else. Oh, that looks good over there. Oh, well, I think I'll try that too. Oh, but there's something over there. I think I'll try that too. No, you have to stay focused. Focus on the things that God asks you to do. Don't worry about anyone else. We need to yield ourselves to God. There is not one impossibility God is not prepared to walk you through in victory. So don't be insecure. Don't be jealous. Don't speak evil of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know where strife dwells, there is every evil work.
Yes.
Nothing will ever, ever, ever be accomplished if strife is present. None of us should try to do what we see someone else doing. Stay in your own path, your own walk with the Lord. Stay in your own lane. And if you have a pen and pencil to this morning, write this down. If you have no authority over something, stay out of it with your actions and with your words. If you have no authority over something, stay out of it with your actions and with your words. Jesus said, because of our unbelief, because of what you're not willing to do, you are not willing to step out because you are concerned what people will say about you. It's because of what you are not willing to do that keeps you in bondage. You have to believe the word of God. Let's ask ourselves today, what is it that I'm not willing to do? That may be the thing that's stopping you from overcoming impossibilities. And if you want God to intervene in your impossibilities, you have to do everything to make that possible. What can we do? What can we do? I like solutions. We can get other help. God wants for us to have fellowship. So we don't have to do it all by ourselves. We need to seek the fellowship of other believers to get to the point where we are strong, but we cannot, absolutely cannot use them as a crutch.
That's right.
Don't ask them to do what you yourself are not willing to do.
That's right, amen.
Many people can pray and present their requests to God, but they rely on others to do it for them. You know, we all can hear from the Lord.
That's right.
If we listen. When everything we know to do has been done, then what? this is a good one, get it, then it's time for God to take over.
Amen.
When we have done all that we know to do, it's time for God to take over. But why don't we let God take over from the very beginning? We'll see. We'll see. If we do what others said can't be done, we're going to be on the right track. What are impossibilities in your thinking? Oh, this is a big one. Thinking. Can this city be won to the Lord?
Yes.
Can your family be won to the Lord?
Yes.
Just because situations we have done all we know to do doesn't mean it's impossible. God says, step aside. I love that. I could hear him say that. I could just stand here. Step aside. Go ahead, preach, God. Step aside. I know your plans. God's saying, I know your plans. I know your thoughts. I will supply you with all you need to be an overcomer. We have our part and God has his part. But please don't try to do God's part. A lot of us try to do God's part and then we get all messed up. I think this is the right word, Roger. We get verhutzt. We get verhutzt. Verhuddled. Yeah. We get verhuddled. I don't know where that came from. That had to be the Holy Spirit. I don't know. It's Dutch, Pennsylvania Dutch. Yeah. When the word of the Lord came to Abram in Genesis 18, three men came and said, you will have a son. They asked, where is Sarai, thy wife? You know the story. We read it over and over. And when Sarah heard them talk about her having a son, she... Impossible. Impossible. Every time you think something is impossible, you should say, is anything too hard for God? There are appointed times and appointed seasons. You see, there are seasons in our lives. And there are appointed times that just because what you are believing for does not happen right away does not mean you sit back and say it's impossible. Everything is in God's timing. Everything. Keep praying. Keep searching. Keep loving. Keep believing until it comes to pass. Do you see the impossibility with Sarah? She was old. Past the age of childbearing, yet is anything too hard for God? In Romans 4:17, the word says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Amen? Murmuring and complaining about a situation only causes it to remain. And I know a lot of us just murmur and complain about a situation, but then it remains. You need to praise the Lord and ask him to change things. Right. When we are weak in faith, we consider the problem instead of the promise. We consider the problem instead of the promise. You have weak faith when you think about the impossibility in your mind. You have to be careful what is in your mouth. You have to be careful. In your mouth, your eyes, your ears, and your head.
Right.
Everything we do should be a ministry to God.
That's right.
Every ministry in this church should be a ministry to God and not a job to do in the church.
That's right. Amen.
Every one of them. When you clean the church or are involved in other areas, you are ministering to God. When you give your finances to the Lord, you are ministering to God. Everything you do should affect lives. You are a living testimony to God. If you get this message today, you're not going to be limited by anything. Not in your relationships, not in anything the Lord places on your heart to do, not even in sickness.
That's right, amen.
You're not going to be limited again. No limits. Say that. No limits. No limits. You can go to the next level of your faith if you believe all things are possible. You can give your children to the Lord and believe God will take care of them. Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, was desperate for a son. So desperate that she gave him totally to the Lord. Sometimes we have to be desperate. Then we will have reckless prayers. and weeping before the Lord. We need reckless prayers and weeping. Sometimes we need to let go of our dignity, our pride, and beg God for what we are believing Him for. We need to refuse to let go. This is a time in our country that we need to have unity in our families. There are challenges that to disrupt our families all over the world. Do we have to have that same challenges in our homes, in our families? I don't think so. I think not. Repent if you are thinking about the problems all the time. Believe God when His word says all things are possible. What are our weapons to fight with today? The word of God, our tears, prayer, faith, and passion. The word of God, our prayers, faith, passion, and prayer. God sees our tears, and He hears our prayers. And He rewards our faith. When you are passionate to seek the Lord for His wisdom, then you will hear from Him. When you pour out your heart before the Lord like Hannah did, you can go in peace and find favor with God. If we want to win people to the Lord, win our families to the Lord, we have to live the Christ-like life before people. Our life should be a living testimony of the love of God that can be attained by all men. If we want our family and friends to respect us, we have to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. We can't live one way in church, not one way here today, and another way at home.
Right.
Busyness is not of the Lord. People need to see a difference in us. Why are so many teens on the verge of suicide? Why are so many on drugs and alcohol? You know, I like to tell stories. I'm going to tell you a true story this morning. I only like to tell true stories. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful little blonde-haired girl. And she danced and sang. She'd invite her friends over and she'd cut her McDonald's hamburger in half and share it. Her parents were in ministry. And she grew up. She became a teenager. And she played baseball. She played baseball and she was good at what she did. Really good at what she did. She was a catcher. Loved the sport. Everybody loved to go see her play baseball. But then a dark side came into her life. And her room was dark. The curtains were dark. She began hearing voices. Voices telling her that she needed to cut herself. That she didn't have, that she shouldn't live anymore. So she began to cut herself, which caused her to go to the hospital. Time and time and time again. In the hospital, putting her on different drugs, back home again, okay for a little while, then more drama, more voices in her head telling her that she should not live. This beautiful, beautiful girl just came out of the hospital. She went in this time because she overdosed on her medicine. And she was away for the weekend, and she came home, and her mother saw something was wrong, but she went in her bedroom. She went to bed, but she didn't get awake. That was a Sunday night, and all day Monday, she was in bed. She slept the whole day. The next day, her sister was flying away to some other state, and this girl's mother said, well, who's going to take you to the airport? And she said, oh, you know, my sister is. And she said, I don't think so. She hasn't even been up. Well, the older girl said, yeah, she's going to take me. So this beautiful girl got out of bed. She went in the back seat of her sister's car. Her sister drove to the airport, and when she got to the airport, she called her mother and said, come and get her. She's in the back seat of the car. So her mother got her, took her to the hospital once again, and sometimes she drove herself to the hospital to save herself, really, because she wanted to die. But this time she had notes written to her whole family. Goodbye notes. Well, she's out of the hospital. And because this is a pretty private family, it is a private family. They don't discuss a lot of things with a lot of people because you just don't know how the people are going to pray. You never know how somebody's going to pray. But I declare this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that God is in control, and devil, you will not have my granddaughter.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Rather, he's not going to have our granddaughter. In what looks like it's impossible, hearing voices in your head to commit suicide constantly, all the time, that you take yourself and try to destroy yourself. Devil, I put you on authority. You're going to deal with us. You're going to deal severely with us because you will not have our granddaughter.
That's right, amen.
You will not.
That's right.
She will live and she will not die. And she will declare the praises of your name.
Yes, Lord.
She will declare the praises of your name.
That's right, Lord.
So what can we do? We can pray more often. We can pray for each other. And there's one big important thing we can do coming in November. We can pray for the November election like never before.
Amen.
And if you think your vote doesn't count, it's not going to count unless you get out there. We can change our country in November if we are not scared. If we do not sit back thinking one or two votes will make a difference. Research who is running and know we have a part to change in the kingdom of God. And do not listen to all those, whatever it is they have coming out, trying to scare us to stay away. Pray for God's destiny to be fulfilled in our land. We won't settle for second best. God has the best, and I believe all truth will prevail.
That's right.
When enough people see corruption, the lies and deceit, truth has to prevail. Will we experience disappointments in our life? With all certainty. We must always be forgiving people, letting God pour out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit so we can love with the God kind of love. When we expect too much of each other, we become disappointed. We become disappointed with each other when we expect too much. Every one of us here today are human beings. Look at your flesh. Look at it. Feel it. Pinch it. You won't hurt yourself if you pinch it. We all fall short one time or another. But it's the love of God that picks us up, puts our feet on solid ground, puts our feet on the right path. You know, it's just, I love my story. When we speak words of faith, we will see the difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Matthew 9:26. But Jesus looked to them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Men will do what they do based on who they listen to and do it with. If you listen to men, it will be impossible. If you are with God, nothing will be impossible. You have to decide who you are going to listen to men or to God. Men conclude with their information, it can't be done. But remember, with God, all things are possible. You have to believe with your heart, your thoughts, your actions, your mouth, the things that you speak. Mark 10:27. Let me say this again. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, It is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Let me hear you say that. It's up on the screen. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things appear. Yet it appears we do have impossibilities in our life. The answer? Get with God. Partner with him. Let him direct your steps. You must let him move the impossibility to a possibility by believing that nothing is impossible with him. We have to think it. We have to speak it. We have to believe it. We have to act it in our heart. Find a promise in the Word of God and think about it over and over and over. What about Mary when the angel appeared to her? So glad she didn't say, don't know what you're telling me, but I think it's impossible. The world would say it's impossible, but if God says it's possible, it is possible. We need to believe, we need to be people who do what others say can't be done. Remember the cross? It's time to cross over to the other side of our thinking. I know the fake news, if you listen to any of that stuff. The propaganda will have you thinking bad thoughts. Will have you thinking everything is impossible. Stop listening. Right. Stop watching. It's time to cross over to truth. And when truth is hard to find, look to the Word of God. It is truth that you just won't find anywhere. You won't find it anywhere. Impossibilities may exist in our lives, but remember, they exist for us to go to God, to trust him, to make the impossible possible. It is the Word that enables us to do the impossible. In our human flesh, we don't even think about doing the impossible. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will be fighting for you, and you shall hold your peace. So what does this say? Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God is working behind the scenes. I need the song. So I close with this. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So this song that we're going to sing affirms that nothing is impossible and that we can walk through the fire. Stand if you want to.
Even death must steal. For the one who's reached his limitless, we're never hidden in the heights or depths. Through the valleys and the wilderness, we are in your hands. We are in your hands. We'll be right back. passing away, when nothing is impossible. The war's already won, the work's already done. What's in our way, when nothing is impossible? The war's already won, the work's already done. What's in our way, when nothing is impossible?
Like some days you're walking through the fire? Well, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to get burned.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Satan's a deceiver, and he will come to us and say our situation is impossible. He's the father of lies. How many times do we have to hear it over and over? He's the father of lies. So all the stuff you're hearing, what is truth? Right here. Right here. God is a truth teller, and he says all things are possible if you believe. So let's show God we believe that nothing is impossible. We are going to do a declaration of our faith this morning.
Yes.
Let's declare together. I'm going to read this, and then we're all going to say it. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe you can do all things. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe you can do all things. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in you, Lord.
I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in you, Lord.
Raise your hands. Father, let this morning be a testimony
to our passion
to not only follow you,
but believe your word,
that whatever obstacles we face
in this thing called life,
we are overcomers
because of the cross,
because we trust you
and have confidence
that whatever
so-called impossibility
tries to attack us,
we know and believe
that nothing is too hard for you.
We know that all things are possible
when you are at the forefront of our lives.
And we give it all to you this morning
with a heart of thanksgiving and praise.
In the mighty name above all names,
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Eyes done. Eyes done.